Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300. The arguments and the justifications are pretty typical. And I imagine at a time of crisis, or at least you believe at the time it's a crisis, there's the unplanned pregnancy. You're thinking to yourself, oh, this is going to ruin everything. I think I know how my future is going to look. I know how I want it to look. How does a baby fit into that future? It doesn't. And that becomes a simple but misguided justification for many, many an abortion. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. That's exactly the kind of sentiment that was recently expressed by comedian Andy Richter about the abortion of his child. We're going to be talking about that with Holly Scheer, who's written about it for The Federalist, a piece titled Andy Richter is Eternally Grateful His Wife Aborted His Child. A little bit later in this hour of Issues Etc., we're going to go through some of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line, try to respond to those, and then Terry Mattingly will join us, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate. We'll talk about a new survey that tells us how Americans are discussing, or in this case, not discussing, politics and religion. Holly Scheer is a regular guest. She's a writer and editor, married mother of four children in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and author of a recent column for The Federalist. Andy Richter is eternally grateful his wife aborted his child. Holly, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having me.
As a mother, what was your initial reaction when you read what Andy Richter had to say?
It was actually deep sadness. It makes me think how his mother must feel that, you know, she raised her son to feel so little regard for his own children. It makes me think of my own children and how I would feel if they were gone. And it also makes me think, as you know, my children are starting to grow up, how I would feel as a mother if one of them grew up and either had an abortion or supported their partner having an abortion, and just how sad and disappointed and horrified I would feel.
The circumstances that Richter explained when he was speaking at a Planned Parenthood rally seem pretty typical. How did he describe it?
Yeah, he talked about, you know, this wasn't his wife yet. It was his girlfriend. They were both working kind of, you know, entry-level jobs in the entertainment industry. They weren't making a lot of money, and they decided that out of convenience and a lack of, you know, the perfect setup that they wanted to have for a family, that it would just be easier and make more sense to have an abortion than to change their lifestyle and actually become a real family, as opposed to just playing house.
And he did describe there being sorrow or sadness associated with it.
Oh, absolutely. His words about it, he said that she was sad, meaning his girlfriend, and he was sad, and it was sad. And he follows that immediately with, but to this day, I know that she will tell you that she made the right decision. So even though it was sad and they knew that this was upsetting at the time, they would still say that this was the right choice for them.
Take that apart for us. I mean, it is brutal to do so, but take that apart, Richter's statement. And again, this is typical of so many who say, yeah, I didn't want to do it, but we had to do it. And it was very sad to do it, but we had to. Take that kind of a statement apart. What's really being said there about what happened in the abortion and those reactions?
I think it's admitting that their parents now, admitting that this was their child, this was their first child, and they decided to kill that child, and they were sad about it, but they still decided, because of financial reasons, it was the right thing to do. You know, they have two other children now, I believe, and they are very public about this abortion. Obviously, he talked about this and joked about it at a fundraiser for Planned Parenthood, and their other children are going to come across these statements at some point and read that, you know, gosh, mom and dad were sad when they killed our sibling, but it was the right thing to do for them, and you know, maybe if situations had been different when we were conceived, they would have done the same with us and been sad, but still just gone along with their lives. It's really deeply horrifying.
You yourself, you're part of that post-Roe generation, that generation from 1973 on that grew up either knowing they could have been aborted or grow up knowing that siblings may have been aborted. As a part of that generation, talk about that kind of legacy in a person's life.
It is very sobering when you look around at all of the families around you and you realize how many missing faces are in just normal families around you. And it is really difficult to grapple with that other than timing and the grace of God, that could have been you. And all of the generations now that it gets into that, you know, there's grandparents who are gone, there are aunts and uncles and cousins and siblings. And, you know, it's not just children. It's gone on long enough now that we have families that will never, ever be what they should have been.
There is also a very strong belief here, and it's behind Richter's, but also so many others' statements and justifications for abortion. And that is, had we not done this, we would not be able to have lived the lives we now live. Whatever that life may be, that would have prevented it. Respond to that, if you would, Holly.
I think it's just ridiculous. I mean, none of us are fortune tellers. You can't look at, you know, a situation and say, if things go this way, I will never end up where I want to be, because we just don't know. We don't know what the future holds for us. I mean, he and his wife could be exactly where they are now had they kept that child. They could have ended up somewhere even better. It is never a good idea to look at where you are in this instant and say abortion is the only way to move forward into the future and have a positive future. It can just as easily, I would say, it always moves you back in a more negative direction, because not only in the future do you have a smaller family, you will always have that guilt that, you know, you killed your child. You should have another child, and it is at your hand that you do not.
It is a pretty cruel admission, Holly. It's to say, well, you know, we had to do it to have the success and the happiness that we've been able to have since. We had to kill that child.
Oh, it's absolutely, it's monstrous. I mean, that your success, that your happiness, that your vision for the future was more important than another person and their whole life.
Holly, talk about, and this is kind of tangential to the Richter story, but I think it is part of Planned Parenthood's current attempt to, I don't know, adjust its public image. They seem to be leaning on comedians, on comedy in some cases, in order to get people feeling good about Planned Parenthood again. What are your thoughts?
You know, when they were originally pushing for legalization of abortion, kind of the credo was safe, legal, and rare. It was this idea that there were women who, for whatever reason, because of very difficult circumstances, were going to seek out an abortion regardless of how safe it was and regardless of legal status, that they were going to do this. And that's where you have like the back alley abortion idea, you know, the whole coat hanger, the grotesque, where women ended up with, you know, infections and dying themselves. And so people pushed that instead of pushing women to this, we should have it be available in a safe way, but it should be rare. It should not be, you know, an easily accessible thing. And once we had that legalized, it has shifted now to, instead of having to be rare and because of serious circumstances, it can be for any reason. It can be because you just don't want a baby, because it doesn't mesh with your future, because you're not equipped, because you're not right, because you already have too many other children. Many women who have abortions actually already have children. And I think that's where pulling in actors and actresses and comedians comes in. We are seeking to now not only have this be, you know, in the back of our heads as a solution, but to be really in the forefront for families, that this is normal. This is, you know, funny even. This is humorous. This is just, it's part of what families do. If a baby isn't right now, then just don't have that baby.
What does it tell you about a society where abortion can be considered a laughing matter?
You know, I think we've really come full circle back to, you know, paganism when we look at it in the history books, when, you know, babies were left exposed, when babies were sacrificed. You know, we look at in the history books, the golden idols and the babies being burned. And we've come back to that. Maybe it's not quite to that point yet, but we are absolutely sacrificing children to the altars of fame and fortune and happiness and whatever our personal desires are.
Finally, then, Holly, talk about the couple, because while Richter's comments are fairly typical, while his justification is fairly typical, the way his life has turned out isn't. He's a very successful comedian. He's made and with undeniable talent. Most people who go through the justification, who say, yeah, we got to do this for our future, we got to kill the baby for our future, their lives don't turn out, you know, in Hollywood with fame and fortune, all the things they ever hoped to have. Sometimes their lives don't get any better at all. Talk about that.
You know, Andy Richter is the 1% that we see so much about right now. He's rich. He's, you know, rubs elbows with everyone who's famous right now. And you're absolutely right. The average person choosing abortion is not rich, and they are not ever going to be rich. They're not going to have the influence and the ability to really do anything they want. The particular fundraiser these statements came out of is called the Sexy Beast Fundraiser. I mean, it's held actually in Los Angeles for that branch of Planned Parenthood, and it is pretty much what you would expect out of, you know, a Hollywood-type Planned Parenthood event. It's celebrities. It's famous people. It's people that, you know, they're never going to realize what it's like for the rest of us, where we have to make decisions between, you know, things we want and things we need sometimes because of money, because they have so much and it's still not enough for them to actually choose life.
Holly Shear is a writer and editor. She's a married mother of 4 children in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and she's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Andy Richter is Eternally Grateful His Wife Aborted His Child. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Holly, thanks.
Thank you.
The Issues Etc. comment line is a comment line we leave open for our listeners 24/7, 618-223-8382. We will respond to a few comments on it right after this.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.